Hello, my name's Stephen Morris and welcome to Songs in the Key Of, a podcast about songs. These might be old songs, new songs or middle-aged songs, anything that takes my fancy really. Sometimes these shows will be themed around an idea, a person, a genre or some other concept. Other times they will simply reflect my latest obsessions, my new favourite bands, those songs I can't get out of my head. This time round, it's another collection of fairly random seeming songs that have been keeping my brain occupied of late. So, let's get on with it. I first got wind of the fact that Half Man Half Biscuit had a new album out when Raw Plugs of Yesteryear started playing thanks to the whim of the Spotify algorithm. For a fan such as I, this was an appalling oversight. I do most humbly beseech your and, of course, Nigel Blackwell's forgiveness. All Asimov and No Fresh Air is, of course, a thing of shining wit, and one song in particular is a comic masterpiece. Record Store Day is a wonderfully snide assessment of the 24-hour period devoted to limited edition vinyl releases. It's a slightly odd approach to make fun of the kind of people who listen to your band. Let's face it, Half Man Half Biscuit is very much a band that appeals to music obsessives. But, as usual, it's all done with warmth and knowingness. We're all in on the joke. We know how silly we might appear to the rest of the world as we spend our time looking for deleted Smith singles and original, not re-released, underlined, Frank Zappa albums. Take, for example, this verse. There's a remix of their awkward fourth, outtakes of his difficult fifth, a lost recording of the bloke what died, an altercation in the queue outside. If you're listening to this podcast, it's more than likely you've fallen prey to the obsession with getting some rare release from some obscure artist. And if you're not, don't worry. There's still time to join our weird little gang.
Second mortgage, whip crack away, it's record store day, so get yourself a second mortgage. There's a remix of their awkward fourth, outtakes of his difficult fifth, a lost recording of the bloke what died, an altercation in the queue outside. Oh, rock of my soul, it's record store day, so get yourself a second mortgage.
The day after the Beta Band re-released their seminal three EPs on 180-gram vinyl, please refer back to the opening song by Half Man Half Biscuit for further details about obsessive music buying behaviour, I marched down to Analog Music in Rochester High Street, debit card in my hot little hand, to buy my copy. This particular collection of songs has always been dear to my heart, if only because it features prominently in a scene from my favourite film of all time. High Fidelity is an excellent film about an awful man. When I first read Nick Hornby's book as a sixth former and then watched the film a couple of years later, I thought that Rob, the story's protagonist, was the coolest man on the planet, simply because he had an amazing music taste and an enormous record collection. As I've grown older and watched the film again and again and again, it has, you'll be shocked to hear, become more and more obvious that an intricate knowledge of the back catalogue of Bell and Sebastian, Smog and Elvis Costello does not a decent human being make. Still, the film remains very funny, has what Jack Black's character Barry would refer to as a kick-ass soundtrack, and actually shows at least some kind of growth on the part of John Cusack's character. The scene involving the Beta Band features Rob playing Dry the Rain, the opening track from the three EPs. Somehow, he manages to put the CD in the tray and start the song about two-thirds of the way through. You have to suspend your disbelief quite a bit when watching this film. But I'm not going to play that to you. Instead, I thought I'd play you a smidgen of She's the One, which comes from much later on this collection of EPs. The Beta Band's whole shtick was to pick out sounds and musical ideas that just sounded a little bit weird and quirky. But somehow, when stitched all together, it sounds absolutely perfect. And so She's the One opens with fairly standard strummed guitars and a fairly unstandard jaw harp boinging around below Steve Mason's nonsensical lyrics about pucking on the egg fry. And then all the vocals speed up to a fabulous Mickey Mouse speed. It's all gloriously weird and magnificently wonderful. And it goes exactly like this. Shortly before I started writing the script for this episode, friend of the podcast and friend IRL, Mr. Stuart Turner knocked on the door and we immediately got talking about music, because that's what we do. He admired my copy of the Beta Band 3 EPs, which I've already mentioned, and he went on to talk about his own recent purchase by a band called Wonder Horse. He said he was very excited about them because he thought they were his own private discovery, until he found out that they've been headlining festival stages lately and actually had quite a big following. Hopefully, he was reassured to hear that, while in our house at least, he remained the holder of arcane knowledge. Neither Rachel or I had heard of them. But we have now. As soon as he left, I got Spotify going and started listening to their 2024 album, Midas. It's quite good, you know. There's a hint of Fontaine's DC about them, a kind of gloomy alt-rock that is the stuff of students' musical obsessions. For this episode, I've picked Emily. Aside from the repeated use of the girl's name as a chorus, the song is actually about the old staple of the drudgery of the 9-to-5, a feeling you're losing your sanity in a world that already has. I think I might just come to love this band.
Deadlines, no sleep, this job is killing me slowly. Oh well, I'll keep quiet, counting sheep.
We've not heard from Dead anyway for a while, have we? No fault on their part. They're in the studio recording so much, I'm not sure they ever have time to do anything else. Kate Arnold and Mark Simmons have recently unleashed a new EP on the world, This or Broadmoor. It is brilliant. Darkly brilliant, of course, but brilliant nonetheless. Kate's lingering, jarring, confessional poetry and Mark's glitchy, drony, unnerving electronic accompaniments make for a perfect combination. Once upon a time, Mark pointed me in the direction of an electronic artist called Rio Arai, whom I later featured on an episode of this podcast. You can kind of see the influence of the Japanese musician on aspects of This or Broadmoor. For this segment, I've picked A Fear of Explosions, which offers a brutally honest account of coming to terms with trauma. I'm not ill, I'm just ill-equipped for life, runs one particularly open line from Kate Arnold's lyrics. It's heartbreaking in its fragility, the sound of a woman overwhelmed by her past as it continues to batter her present and threaten her future while the world moves on and on. It's not about being old, it's about everything else being new, Kate explains midway through the track. It's poignant, bleak, but holds a terrifying insight into the truth of human pain.
I was never shouting, he said. I never shouted, it was you. You always stood too close. And it's the always bit that's always stayed with me. Rather than any ludicrous accusation of over-proximity, was I only supposed to stand close that once, that Saturday in summer in front of everybody? One day, you too will be winter. I'm not ill. No, not ill. I'm just ill-equipped for life, and that's not new. And not alone either. I'm just running an empty cycle, and this title, which came to me in my sleep, confirms the only search is in silence. It seems I have to search in silence. And one day, you too will be winter.
A couple of weeks ago, I went to the evening section of an all-day gig at Raynham's Oast House, which had a lineup of around 8 bands, one of whom was a London-based act I'd never heard before called Sassy Hire. There's a wonderful kookiness to this band. Twee was a word I heard to describe them, although that does sound a little pejorative. The gleefully kooky stroke twee, delete as you see fit, song that I'm going to play for you in a minute is the gleefully kooky stroke twee titled Crayon Potato, named after guitarist vocalist Kathy and bass player stroke backing vocalist Helen's pet cat. There's a nursery rhyme feel to it with an underscore of calypso and funky backing. If you liked Fortet's Go-Go Ninja Dinosaur from the child-friendly compilation Colours Are Brighter, and who didn't, I think you'll love this to bits. Been a relatively busy boy going to gigs lately. A few weeks back I was sent to Rochester's Mason's Lodge, no less, to review a gig by garage band extraordinaire The Masonics. Supporting them with The High Span, an excellent band who have featured on previous Songs in the Key of Outings, and a much newer band, The Penrose Web. The Penrose Web comprises of Alan Crockford from The Prisoners and the Galileo 7, and Ian Button from Death in Vegas, Thrashing Doves and Papernut Cambridge. They were performing their second ever gig, the first being one they had played earlier in the day in London, and were on the brink of releasing their debut album, The Least of Our Concerns, and they were ruddy marvellous. The album that emerged shortly afterwards is an excellent collection of songs with a psychedelic twist and explorations of various forms of inner and outer turmoil. One of my favourite moments from the album is In Her Darkened Room, a gothically tinged song about a seductress who is determined to steal my soul away. There's nods in there to the Electric Prunes, I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night, and maybe a hint of My Life Story in there for good measure. If you close your eyes, you can visualise a black and white horror film in which our innocent hero is endlessly pursued by some kind of Morticia Adams character. This, then, is In Her Darkened Room.
There is candlelight and whispers through the night. The chamber next to mine, it holds the secret. Dark and grey, someone has come to stay, to steal my soul away. She needs to keep.
John Mike needs a bit of soothing after the relentless pursuit of villainesses from horror movies. Then perhaps a bit of a chilled-out looped clarinet-led instrumental might meet your requirements. Clary Loops isn't the best name I've ever heard for a music act, but what it lacks in imagination and style and finesse, it more than makes up for as an exercise in description by Portmanteau. Ruby Esther May is the Australian clarinetist behind the project, looping woodwind instrumentals around each other with an understated backing of synthetic sounds. Take Warmth, for example, from May's 2020 album Sun Rain, which sees clarinet sounds echoing around each other while a melody swoops and soars all around. It's mesmerising and really rather beautiful. Thank you. we've heard from Goat on a couple of occasions before. Back as long ago as episode number 2, I featured a song by them called Trouble in the Streets from their 2016 album Requiem. And then, in a review of 2023, we got a blast of Join the Resistance from that year's Medicine. The other day I spotted that album in HMV going fairly cheap, so I picked it up, and it has been playing on the CD player in the kitchen almost constantly ever since. Medicine is a splendid combination of spaced out folk, sub-Saharan flavours and Far Eastern influences. I Became the Unemployment Office is an unlikely sounding title for a distortion heavy psychedelic swamp fest, but it's a magnificent epic sounding song you'd be a fool not to love. Soft Machine are most famous for being part of the Canterbury scene. This was the band that featured Kevin Ayres, David Allen and Robert Wyatt amongst their number. All whimsy and psychedelic sounds. So it's a bit of a surprise that if you pick up John Savage's excellent compilation album Do You Have the Force, Volume 2, 1978 to 1982, you'll hear something by Soft Machine that is a far cry from the usual Canterbury scene sound. Soft Space is one of those tracks that clocks in at 8 minutes 55, barely fluctuating from the premise laid out in the opening moments, and yet you feel compelled to listen all the way through its hypnotic pulsations. It feels a huge shame that it comes to an end. There's a feel of disco to it. There's something of a wonky sci-fi show theme tune to it. There's just a whole lot to love about it, especially when the pitch drops unexpectedly and it feels like something's gone a little bit wrong, only for you to discover that it's a whole world of right. For the first time, I think, in her solo career, the Cornish Welsh singer-songwriter Gwenno has released an album with lyrics in English, and she's arranged for the result, Utopia, to be pressed on the pinkest vinyl in the history of the world. Listening to songs like The Devil, it's hard not to compare Gwenno's voice with that of Rose Eleanor Dougal of The Wave, with whom Gwenno was in the band The Pipettes. They share a similar, effortless-sounding, smoky vocal that is enchanting and captivating. The Devil is a warning about the prospect of meeting Beelzebub himself in Brighton. It grooves around mesmerically, with all kind of shimmering sounds higher up the register. For a warning about encounters with demonic forces, it's remarkably chilled out and sumptuously gorgeous. It goes, of course, just like this. So, there you have it. 10 songs in the key of cats, goats and the devil. If you like what you heard, you can find a playlist of all the songs featured on this episode on Spotify. Just look for Songs in the Key of Cats, Goats and the Devil. Podcasting protocol pretty much insists that I ask you to like and subscribe to this podcast on the platform of your choice. And if you know anyone in particular who is a fan of songs about felines named after artistic spuds, soul-sapping sources of employment, or overpriced B-side compilations, be sure to tell them that this podcast could well be right up their street. I'll be back sooner or later with some more songs in the key of something or other else. In the meantime, have a marvellous few days and nights till we meet again.